I'm delighted to welcome to the studio Sarah Wren, who is Chief Executive of the Hertfordshire Independent Living Service. Now, that suggests that it's a county-wide organisation, and it suggests within its title also that it's aiming to keep people independent. Give me a bit of background. What does that mean?
It's absolutely that. The organisation that I'm very proud to lead is a charitable social enterprise. Now, social enterprise is a bit of an unusual phrase, and what it really means is a business which trades to try and do good in the world. So businesses do all sorts of things. Many of them make a profit, and some of them do some good things with their profit. But every bit of money that we earn is ploughed back to try and do good things for people. And our primary aim is to keep people healthy, happy, and independent at home.
So as a non-profit organisation, your income pays your costs. Do you get grants from County Council or anybody else? Do you have other funding?
Well, actually, we're funded in all sorts of different ways. And that's one of the interesting things about being a trading business, because some of our services we do sell to people. So, for example, our core service, which is Meals on Wheels, we ask clients to contribute to the cost of the food that they have. Now, we always get support for people who are unable to pay for their own meals. But then we also receive income from other places. So the County Council is a wonderful supporter of Meals on Wheels in Hertfordshire, which is something that we're very, very pleased about. So they provide us with a contract payment that makes up the difference between the full cost and the amount that clients pay. Other services we fund from the surplus that we get elsewhere. We also have grants, we have charitable donations. So a real range of different ways of bringing money into the business so that then we can use it to do more good for people when they need it.
We'll come to the full range of services, because Meals on Wheels is obviously a central part of what you do, but there are many other services that you provide as well within that, and we'll cover all those in due course. I just want to come back to the organisation. You're Chief Executive. How long has this been in operation, this service?
Well, it's very exciting, but we've just had our 10th birthday. So 10 years ago, we started, set up just to deliver Meals on Wheels. And we've had some rocky times en route. It hasn't always been plain sailing. I was actually chairman in the beginning. We hit some tricky times. We very sadly lost our first chief executive very suddenly. And to cut a very long story short, for the last 7 years, I've been very privileged to be the chief executive. So over that time, we've grown a lot. We've now got over 200 team members employed. And actually, our second charitable purpose is the relief of unemployment. So it's really important to us that we provide good local employment for people. Flexible work for individuals that care and want to give back to their communities. And some of those people are individuals who may have found it quite hard to work. They may themselves have had health problems or other issues in their lives. And we really try and support them to be able to give back to their communities and earn money for their families as well.
So are they referred to you? We're going to talk about those people who use your service, but now you suddenly also brought an element that I was not aware of, which is that, in fact, you're looking at the unemployment issues as well. And so people can approach you, or are they referred to you by the job service, or what
happens? Yes, people can come to us directly. So we have individuals who may just sort of turn up at our door and say that they want to do some work experience or some supported volunteering because they want to get back into work. But also people come to us via Work Solutions or other charities who try and support people back into employment. So they find out about us and then we really give them support, try and find a role that is suitable for them so that they can build their confidence and start to get back into a working world. And for some of them, they may just want to carry volunteering with us long term, which is absolutely fine. But basically, we try and have a Hills family, a team of people who work together to really try and support the community.
And they might be driving, they might be helping prepare the food, they might be administrative. There's all sorts of skills that you can develop with them. Is that right?
We have all sorts of different roles. So, of course, yes, you're right. There are people who work in the kitchens, actually sort of heating the food each day. People who work in our offices and deal with clients on the phone. The wonderful community team members who go out and have daily interaction. But then we also have specialist team members, individuals who may work with our dementia clubs or install community alarms and telecare. So all sorts of different roles. And actually in St Albans, we run our Jubilee Centre on Catherine Street that used to be a school that some of your listeners may actually have attended. At the Jubilee Centre, we also have people undertaking caretaking roles or maybe looking after our lunch club clients there. So a real range of different roles within the business.
Let's talk about those services then. Meals on Wheels, I think probably most of us understand it. Who needs Meals on Wheels?
Meals on Wheels is a really important service for many people. Now, for some individuals, they may need support long term because they may not have had cooking skills themselves. Sometimes we have ladies or gentlemen come to us when their husband or wife has done the cooking all their lives and then they've lost their loved one and they find themselves without the skills to be able to prepare their own food. Sometimes people can't get out the house and for that reason they need support. But we also look after people on a very short-term basis. So it can be individuals who have just come out of hospital or maybe their loved one is away on holiday and they just need that temporary support to get back on their feet. So it can be a couple of days or it can be many years, but we're there to support people just in the way that they need.
And can that be literally every day or is there a limit on the number of days that you can have?
No, it really is 365 days a year. And rather sadly, up to half of our clients still need a meal on Christmas Day, which is something which I find quite upsetting that, you know, maybe individuals don't have family members to rally around them and sometimes family members don't wish to. But the important thing is that they get to know our team members really well and we can be their family, we can be their support mechanism so that they know that somebody genuinely cares for them, makes them feel special and we try our very best to be that extended family.
You say it's subsidised, so there's a sort of low cost to the user, is it?
Yes, the price is set by the county council because we deliver this on their behalf and they set the price. At the moment, it's £4.55 for a main course and dessert. So they can choose from an enormous range of meals. They can choose from a menu or we can do personalised options. And that also includes specialist meals like kosher and halal, texture modified for people who need a softer diet. So a really, really large range of meals. In the summer, people can have salads, and then we can also do teas and breakfasts. So for individuals who need the full range of meals in a day, we can provide that as well.
If you can't afford to pay for it, what can happen?
What we try and do is to work in partnership with other organisations that specialise in getting in particular help. So the County Council have a team that will go out and make sure that people access the right benefits. Age UK likewise will provide that service, go into someone's home, make sure that they're getting everything that they're entitled to. But also, if someone's really in need, then we have ways of making sure that we provide for that person. So we will never stop delivering to someone in need. We can't let someone go without a meal because they're worried that they don't have the money to pay for it.
Now, you've been operating this for 10 years. Am I right in guessing that before that, it was a council service which was provided by the council direct?
Hertfordshire was very unusual, always nice to be unusual. And in Hertfordshire, Meals on Wheels was delivered by the 10 districts and boroughs. Now, that is strange because the responsibility for Meals on Wheels, such as it is, does lie with the County Council. So what happened over 10 years ago was budgets started to be getting quite tight, local authorities started to look at what they were responsible for, and several of the districts and boroughs said, well, why don't we look at setting up something new with the support of the County Council that can deliver Meals on Wheels in a more cost-effective and a more consistent way? So they supported the setting up of our business, which actually was first of all called Hertfordshire Community Meals, changed our name because we sort of outgrew it really. So they supported us to set it up. And then over about 5-year period, we took over all of the services in Hertfordshire. So we now deliver to the entire area, whether you live on a farm, out in the outlying part of East Harts, whether you live in the middle of St Albans or in the heart of Watford, wherever you live, we can look after you.
And again, somebody has to contact you if they want your service, or are they referred to you by other agencies? How does it work?
We receive lots of referrals from health professionals and from social care, but even more from people who just come to us directly. And then there's certain criteria that the County Council set to receive the subsidised meal, which are really very simple. Do you find it difficult to shop for or reheat food? Is your loved one away? Have you just come out of hospital? So basically, are you struggling to prepare your own food? And if you say yes to one of those things, then you can receive the subsidised service. If you just fancy a meal delivered, you can also receive it, but you have to pay a bit more.
And I know that you, at the Jubilee Centre, you have a lunch club, I think you call it. Is that right, the terminology? That people go to the Jubilee Centre to have a lunch. What is the point in doing that as well as having the option of meal at home?
Well, actually, it's really nice if individuals can get out to meet with other people because, of course, it's really nice to have friends and to be part of a community. So at the Jubilee Centre, we run our own luncheon club that people can just call in anytime from 12 o'clock onwards and they can have a meal, share a meal with other people there as well. And we support about 55 luncheon clubs across Hertfordshire. So those are run by different organisations, by churches and other religious groups, by community centres and in community halls. local groups where people meet together and share a meal.
And when you say you support them, what do you mean, financial, or you provide the food?
We take out shared portion food. So it's like a family eating meal. So large trays of food that people can then share together, sitting around the table as if they were having a family meal together. Mm-hmm.
Food is not the only thing that you deal with in the independent living service. What else do you do?
Well, some years ago, we realised that meals weren't really enough because as we went out and met clients and saw their lives, they asked us for support in other areas as well. So we've gradually extended our services to try and meet the needs that we see that people have. So one of the services that's very connected to meals is our nutrition and wellbeing service. Now, it's all very well presenting someone with a meal, but there may be some reasons why they don't want to eat that food. It could be that they're lonely. It could be that they have a swallowing problem or another health condition or some reason that they don't feel able to enjoy the food and be well nourished and get well. So we employ our own team of dietitians and nutritionists who go out into the community and screen our clients who are at risk of becoming undernourished. And what they do is they advise them on the best meals to choose. And then we provide free nutrition boosts. Now, these are wonderful things. They're things like cheesy scones and extra nourishing soup, fruit pots with clotted cream, really great real food to help people put on weight and to be well nourished again. And they give lots of advice about healthy eating for people, particularly as they get older or if they have other health conditions. So that's one of the things that we do. But we also install community alarms and telecare. And that's the pendant alarms that people wear around their necks if they think that they may fall. Really fantastic service. We work in partnership with North Hants District Council. They have a monitoring team that's been in operation for about 35 years. And they actually give 24-hour coverage. A team of people, they're actually based in Hitchin, and they pick up the calls all day and all night if someone has a fall or if they are worried and they need to contact someone. And we also install other special equipment to help people feel safe at home.
So it's bringing together a number of different aspects of what you face if you're alone and you're trying to work out what their principal needs are. How much of what you do is also bringing the benefits of a visit? But I guess it's the people who go in to do those jobs can't spend very long.
We have quite a lot of people to see in a fairly short space of time. Now, in an ideal world, we would deliver to all 1,400 people every day who receive our meals at 12:30. But of course, we haven't got 1,400 team members and we haven't got 1,400 cars. So we have to deliver within a certain period of time. So what we aim to do is to get out to see everyone between about 11:30 and 2 o'clock. And in that time, we will spend a little time with the individual. And we try and base that on what that person needs. Now, some people are really very independent and they will take the meal from us at the door. We'll check they're okay, just make sure that they're happy and there's nothing that's worrying them. And that will be the entirety of our interaction with them. And for other people, we'll need to plate up their meal, get them a cup of tea, check that they're all right, maybe quickly wash something up, really make sure that they're okay, or maybe prompt them to take their medication. Other little bits and pieces that we can do to make sure they're all right.
How do you manage that line between wanting to be helpful and sort of interfering with people's lives? You've got to be very careful about confidentiality in this sort of situation, haven't you?
Absolutely. And all of our team members have an enhanced DBS check. So that means that we make sure that these are people who are suitable to go into the homes of people who may need extra help and support. And of course, some of our clients will have dementia or memory problems. So it's particularly important that we have the right team going in. And it is always a difficult balance. But what we do is we're trying to help people stay independent. And one of the challenges that I face is that people think that Meals on Wheels is about losing independence. And actually, for so many people, it's about remaining independent. Because if someone isn't able to prepare food and starts to live on biscuits and starts to lose weight and become malnourished, that's when they are more likely to have a fall and need assistance and need extra care. But if we can keep people well, just by taking in a meal a few times, keep them strong, check that they're okay, be part of their community, get to know them, they'll then tell us when they're worried about things and tell us when things are wrong. And we can get help at the right time so that people can stay well and not actually become unwell and malnourished.
You mentioned dementia. Is that an issue that you're dealing with more and more? I mean, how are you grappling with that?
I think dementia is becoming more of a problem for all of us as we live longer. And as people are now often living into their 90s, we have clients in their hundreds, it is becoming more likely that people will have dementia or have some other memory problems. So it's very important that we offer services to help, and our nutrition and wellbeing service has particular support for family members and individuals who have dementia, as tastes often change and what people want to eat changes. But we also have some fantastic fun clubs that we run at our Jubilee Centre, where people can come and spend a whole day away from their family, so it gives their family members a break as well. And they can come and do fantastic fun things together in a really supported environment. You know, lots of lively activities, or sitting and reading the paper if they prefer, sharing a meal together, but really stimulating things to help them stay vibrant and well.
And what sort of staff have you got doing that? What are their qualifications?
Well, we have a specialist team of individuals who are trained to look after people with dementia. And then we have a marvellous team of volunteers as well, who often have personal experience of having lived with a loved one with dementia, as well as, of course, having been trained as dementia friends. And that gives a lovely combination of people with a real heart for the individuals that they're working with and supporting.
One of the problems that affects us as we grow older is that sight loss is an ongoing problem. Do you have any involvement in that as an agency?
One of the things that we look out for is the wider issues that can be affecting someone's health and also their ability to remain independent. So we work with a lovely organisation called A1 Opticians. They have an NHS contract to provide opticians checks in the home. So what we do is we put them in touch with our clients who we know may be having a problem with their eyesight. They'll go into the home, they'll arrange a time and they'll do an eyesight check. They can take out glasses to people, sort of get the prescriptions made up for them, and even refer those individuals for cataract surgery if that would help them. But they can get all sorts of specialist support from a trained optician to be able to really sort out these problems that are a bit too big for us to sort out.
Got obviously quite a range of services that you cover. You got anything new coming up? You're developing new services all the time?
Well, we are. And the great thing is, as we see need and as we work in partnership with other organisations in Hertfordshire, we find new ways to serve people. So we've been looking after more clients with dementia through the Heartswise project that we're doing with various partners in Hertfordshire. And hot off the press, we're just about to be beginning a wonderful active ageing programme, which is being funded by Public Health Hertfordshire and Sport England. Now, you may not think that sport is something which really supports older people in the home, but actually, all of us benefit from keeping active. So this is a programme where our team members are going to be supporting people for a 10-week programme in their homes, either supporting with chair-based exercise to build strength or with standing exercise. And for those individuals who feel that they are able to get out and about, but maybe they've lost confidence, we're going to be going out with them into community activities, maybe things that the district council is running, to be able to reconnect them and to be doing exercise and activity outside the home. So again, we're really excited about that. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be telling our clients all about it.
And as society gets older, and as in many cases, families are divided by geography, do you see that the demand for your services is going to increase?
Unfortunately, I think that's absolutely the case. What we find is that our clients who do have families often have families dispersed across the whole world. We have family members who contact us from Hong Kong and Canada and the USA, China, living all over the world, but wanting to ensure that their loved ones are properly cared for in their own communities where they've often grown up. We can be that extended family. We keep in touch with family members, and if there's anything that the individual is worried about or that we're worried about, we can get in touch and then get in the extra support that someone may need. But the important thing is that our team members get to know our clients incredibly well. They go in, day out. We have clients who know probably only two or three of our team members. So when they're off colour, we know that something's happening and we can ask them whether they'd like us to get extra support. Contact their GP for them. Contact a friend of the family who can then be that extra support.
What is it that gets you up in the morning and off to the office? What drives you?
This is such an easy job to do in terms of daily reawakening passion for trying to serve our community. Just this morning, I was delivering some food safety training to some new colleagues who have just joined our various sites. And one of our team members said how she had been out to see a client last week and the client seemed quite sad. And she asked her what was wrong, and the client just, you know, started to weep and said that she was just having a bit of a low time. And she was able to give her a hug and tell her that we valued her and that we cared for her, and to see whether we could get any extra help. And every single day, our teams are able to bring that real care and love into people's lives. And we're able to see the difference and the impact that our service makes. And that's something which is utterly compelling. All of my colleagues share the same passion that I have to be able to serve and to be able to change people's lives for the better.
Many thanks to Sarah Wren for that introduction to the services offered by her organisation. Now, if you want to find out more about Hearts Independent Living, go to their website, heartsindependentliving.org. That's all one word, heartsindependentliving.org. And if you want to inquire about any of those services, whether for yourself or on behalf of a friend or neighbour or a family member, call 0330 200 103. That's 0330 200 103. That's a local rate number, by the way. Or you can email info@heartsindependentliving.org.